What's going on, everybody? This is John Barr coming to you with the 2019 June Investors Digest Market Update. So we'll go ahead and jump right into this. Now, just to get started, now remember, if you're listening to this on the podcast, I would suggest everybody head over to YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can kind of see what all these numbers mean and what exactly it is that they correspond to. Because just by hearing those numbers, it's kind of hard to determine and really see them unless you're looking at a picture of the graphs and stuff as I talk about them to really get a good idea of what this stuff really means. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get right into it. So the April through June kind of numbers. Now, remember, some of this data that I pull, it is very delayed, especially when it comes to the unemployment and employment numbers that come from the government. That's why I put an indication next to them what month these are actually from. So the average sales price in May was $274,230. Man, had a little typo there, but just shy of $275,000, but it was a 1.45% increase year over year. The median sales price increased to $227,500, and that is a new all-time record for prices here in San Antonio as far as median sales price. We had quite a number of records actually broken, but that median sales price was a 3.8% increase year over year. Total sales, also a new record, and that was for the month of May as well. We had 3,608 sold, which is a 9.7% increase year over year. That is a huge number of increase in the total number of sales that we had from the previous year, and that was one of the numbers that kind of really shocked me. The average rental price, new record as well, was $1,530, which is a 3.4% increase year over year, so it's a huge bump in the average rental prices. Unemployment and employment here in San Antonio. The employment was just shy of 1.172 million. That is a 1.57% increase year over year, and we gained 1,321 jobs from the previous month. Unemployment sank way down to 2.59, and that is an extremely low number. We haven't seen numbers like that since 20 years ago, and that is a 0.52% decrease from the previous month. So unemployment and employment here in San Antonio numbers are looking good and holding strong. So like I said, if you've watched these before, the unemployment numbers are a very strong early indicator for me, because if people in San Antonio have jobs or making money, that means that they're looking for housing, they're able to get loans, able to buy their homes, and potentially to do some more investing. If that number starts to increase, that's when I'll kind of start being sounding the alarm, and then not just to increase up to 3, 4 or something like that. Those numbers are kind of more historical. We're kind of well below the historical average. But if I start seeing those half month, 1% increases month over month over month, I'm going to start looking to see what might be causing that and try to determine, is it going to affect us in real estate? Month's inventory was at 3.07, which is a half a month drop from the previous month. So that's pretty typical for this time of year. Now, this is the data that I actually pull myself to kind of determine the market. Now, remember, as we're going through this, anytime you see the months of inventory, that is a number that we use to determine the health of the market. And it basically says if no new houses got listed on the MLS or for sale, how long would it take the market to absorb all of the inventory based on the number of solds? The average balanced market is 6 months, and you can tell we're way below six. And what that really means is we are in a strong seller's market, and we have been for quite some time. But that means that anytime that number is below six, the further it gets below six, the stronger the seller market that it is. Above six, it's kind of a buyer's market. The supply and demand is off. So that's why there's a lot of demand for housing and not much supply. You don't have to go very far to hear about affordability issues and inventory issues that a lot of the nation is finding when it comes to housing. So keep that in mind. Six is your average. Anytime those numbers are below six, that is good. That means it is a strong seller's market and prices are probably going to continue to rise as that number continues to stay low. Now, the median sales prices, like I mentioned, you can see how we capped over and the 225 that we hit last year. And I expect June to kind of hit that same point as well. So we will kind of keep watching on that. But this is what I like to show. That's why I advise people that are just listening to the podcast that haven't seen it, head to YouTube so you can kind of really see what we're looking at here. But what we've seen here is why it goes up and down, up and down. That is your market cycles. So it goes up in the summertime, down in the wintertime, up in the summer, down in the winter. So that we've had a good, strong, long run of healthy trends. So I'm going to continue to watch that. But we're always kind of it's crazy to see that just January of 2011, 2012, we hit a low of, 134,450. And in just 8 years, we have gone from 135 all the way up to 227. I mean, that's a huge jump and rise in prices on here. So it's no surprise when they say San Antonio's hitting affordability issues. That you can see it right there that we definitely are. Monthly rents follow pretty much the exact same trend, just not quite as big of jumps. You can see how we hit that new record of that 1530 this last month, but it's the same kind of thing where it goes up in the summertime, down in the winter, up in the summer, down in the winter. So it's not uncommon, and I advise people to do it and suggest doing it because it's something we do. We set our leases up to where they always end in April. So if I'm getting ready to rent a property, say in December, it's like, I'm going to rent it to you for 4 months. I'm going to rent it to you for 16 months. So it ends in April. So I have that time if I need to. In May, I can get it cleaned up, ready to go, and get it back on the market to catch that next rise in the rental prices. So that's just something that we do in our business. I know a couple other investors that are big buy and hold people do the exact same thing. 20-year unemployment. And this is where I was saying that we have not seen a number that low since basically back in April of 1999, long time ago, right before the dot-com bubble burst. So you can kind of see in this graph why I watched the unemployment is if I'd see big spikes and it started getting very volatile, I'm going to start to wonder, like, what is going on? Because you can really see how fast this number, especially in this last recession, it really took off and got to a high of 7.75 very quickly. So that's why I do want to watch those numbers over time to see, hey, when does this thing rise? Or does it start rising and what might be causing that? So the year-over-year appreciation, I started adding this a while back because I thought it was very important for people to kind of get an idea of like how fast these numbers can turn around. So remember, it was January of 2011, 2012 when this was going backwards and started taking off. But now one thing I do take from this little picture is that the appreciation is slowing down. You can kind of see the total average that I got here is 5.2 with a historical average, as they say, is 3-4%. But the 12-month average is now lower than the total average. And you can kind of really see that this kind of really pegged off for a number of years through 2015. We hit a couple 10% year over year. And now we've really kind of slowed down and started to really kind of bring it back down towards an average. But it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just saying that, hey, we have hit that affordability issue and prices are kind of stable off. Now, it doesn't mean the entire market in itself. It might just, to me, you can see from what my opinion is that prices aren't rising as fast on the high end. But the low end is still coming up and strong. But once you get to that about that 200, you start hitting some affordability issues for a lot of people that don't have that good high-paying W-2 job or something like that that allows the average housing stock to continue. But I think anything below that 200 level, that's why we like to stay in that area. That's where the bulk of home sales are, and that is where the fastest appreciation typically tends to happen. So now the next part is where to market. Where do you market to that has the best chance to have the most demand and the most price appreciation, whether you're looking for flips or you're looking for areas that might be looking for flippers or for that buy and hold? So break it out in two ways. The first is by price range. So you can see by what I'm looking at here that the bulk of the most in-demand housing going out that month-end inventory number again. Remember, 6 is average. Anything lower than that, the lower the number, the stronger the demand for that housing is. So you can see why I was saying that we love to stay in that sub 200, really 250 market. But that is the bulk of the sale. Of those 3,600 sales, there's a lot of them just right here in that 100 to 250 price range. And you can definitely tell by the months of inventory how fast that much inventory is getting consumed because there is such a housing glut. And really, I think the reason is builders can't really build good quality houses for under $200,000. There's a few being built out in the county that are still in San Antonio city limits, but I mean, they are no garage, 1,000 square feet, shotgun style homes. They all look the same, very, very basic houses. But keeping that 6 months in mind, we still don't cross over that till you get to the 500,000 and up. So even at the 400 to 500,000, not a lot of homes are sold in there in retrospect to the 3,600 that are sold every month, but they are still being consumed and show that there is still a demand for that style of housing. Now the next way is by zip code. So where is the zip code that has the lowest months of inventory showing the most in demand? And you can kind of see when you have these low months of inventory, what that does to appreciation over a period of time. So you can see here 78227, 250, 251, all of them are below 2 months inventory, but you can see how some of these areas have really appreciated in just 2 years' time, and this is my information. So 227 went from under 109,000 up to 139,000, 30,000 in appreciation in just a matter of 2 years, because what I think causes it is they have the actual price of those homes. So you can keep, when we go back here, that 100 to 150,000, there's only 263 homes sold, but a very strong demand for those homes that are being sold. So those are going up to the 130, or average price 139, which took us to the top of the lowest months of inventory. So keep in mind, now this is area that would market to try to find inventory, because flippers like myself love this type of price ranges, because the amount of work you have to do and the detail you have to get into isn't as high or as much as you do on the higher price homes, just for fear of fact that people want these homes just to live in. They're just trying to get a starter home. They're just trying to get their first home, not necessarily their high priced end. So you don't have to do as high end in the kitchen, as high end in the bath. You just need the house be able to qualify for financing and be a good strong bones and be a decent house, unlike you have to at the high price point. So now here, where's the highest months of inventory? And now we really don't start, there's a few in here that get to that balance of 6 months of inventory and only one that's really up there, but look at the price range of how long you might have to hold these things. Now the caveat to that is, like, you still do get pretty good appreciation in 2 years, going from 757 to 809, getting 50,000 in appreciation, but look how long it takes you to get that. Might have taken you to get that sale. 10 months to sell the house is a long time, and if you got a loan at $500,000-$600,000 hard money, every interest payment's right off your bottom line. So to keep that in mind as well as you're analyzing these things. So now, this isn't to say these are bad zip codes by any means. It's just basically saying keep an eye on these things when you do analyze them, because now these higher price homes, you got to get really into those details. You got to put more money into the bathrooms, the kitchens. You can't have kind of shoddy paint or things that aren't caulked and looking pretty. And those details cost a lot of money to really kind of finish up and make it look really pretty, really clean, really brand new. So the cost of renovations get drastically higher when you get into these higher price homes. Now you can make pretty good money if you buy it at the right price, but it's just something that you really want to analyze these deals and really look at your competition and see, like, how long is my competition taking to sell? What does their competition look like on their listing photos? And walk those houses if you can, get a realtor and take a look at the inside of those homes and see, like, what you need to do to go above and beyond to make sure you're not sitting on that average for three, four months getting that sale, because those interest payments hurt every single month. So definitely something to keep in mind. Now, a little something I am seeing is a 78207. Now, I've said it before, this kind of a year ago, this never showed up because there was not enough inventory, because I kick everything off that doesn't have at least 30 active solds in a zip code. And 207 never had it. It's a very large zip code too. And what you're seeing here, though, is what I'm seeing is this zip code was usually the lowest price zip code in all of San Antonio. And it's right next to downtown. It was a very dilapidated, rundown area. Those homes needed a lot of renovation to qualify for any type of financing. So when you're seeing houses selling for $85,000, it takes a lot of work to some of those homes. It might take you $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 to rehab those houses to get them back to where they can even qualify for financing. Old electrical, no air conditioning, bad plumbing, roofs. But what I'm seeing here is there is now getting enough of appreciation and demand in those housings where investors can go in there and let go of some of that inventory, or they can get it where rehabbers can buy them, renovate them, and get that good housing stock back on the market. So that's why you're kind of seeing, or my theory is on this 78207, why it kind of comes on and off and there's really low demand, but high months inventory. So with that, that kind of really concludes it. I suggest everybody, like I mentioned, that's on the podcast, head over to either our website at primehomes.com and subscribe to the Investor's Digest. You will get a link to this video, and you will get PDF slides that you can have that you can kind of flip through, go back and reference back and forth. Now, if you have any questions, go ahead and shoot me an email at john@primehomes.com. And if you are just watching this through our newsletter, definitely go to wherever you get your podcasts and search An Investor's Journey and give our podcast a listen, and a like and review would be always appreciated. But we give tips and tricks and different things that are going on in our business that could potentially make and help you be a better investor and hear really our story and what we're currently learning as we go through our journey as being investors. So that's it. We'll see you guys on the next one.